joining us here at Queer at Heart, everyone. Today on the show, we have Miles Sexton. Hey, Miles.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. So, for those who do not know you, you are a fashion nomad. Well, those who do know you as well, fashion nomad, content curator, makeup artist, who came to Toronto in 2009 from Nova Scotia.
Yeah, I literally moved here on my 19th birthday.
Yeah, your 19th birthday.
Yeah.
So today's topic is we are going to be talking about you coming out mm-hmm. with your HIV status and the importance of it for you and for everybody. The importance of coming out and removing that stigma and how it's affected your life and in fashion as well. So what, you know, when did your journey start in fashion? When was that spark that just sort of,
Let's start with that. That's a good question. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a super small town in Nova Scotia, and you know, it's one of those towns where like the population is like probably under 2,000 people. And we, you know, I didn't grow up with like a super, you know, my family wasn't super wealthy. So like we didn't really have a lot of access to like the internet or a ton of like television shows. So I guess I just like didn't really have much exposure to the fashion industry or just like society in general. I really only had like, I guess my local community as like a reference point for what people were like.
Right.
And so as, you know, as I got older, I think I must have been like maybe 15 or so. And I started working at a grocery store and 15 or 16. And I remember like they like I was hating it because they were like making me push carts like from outside in. But I was like this skinny little like pretty blonde boy that like was like, I want to do something else. And then like the woman who took care of like the magazines, she like ended up getting promotion or something. And I was like, I want to do that. So, like, once a month or, like, once every 2 weeks, I got to, like, take all the old magazines and put the new ones out.
Oh.
And so it was, like, because I could never, like, afford to buy a magazine really before, or, like, spend my money on it. So it was, like, I was kind of able to, like, look through them as I was, you know, putting them in and out off the shelf. And I just remember being, like, so inspired by, like, the creativity that was inside of it that I was, like, oh, this is so interesting. Like, I kind of want to be... I want to be in these magazines. Like, I don't see myself in these magazines, but, like, why not? Like, I want to, like, creatively express myself with this, like, fantasy that I'm seeing in these fashion magazines. So, on that, through that, I decided to no longer be a geologist and decided to, like, chase the world of fashion.
Yeah, and I'm so happy you did it. You know what I mean?
Me too.
I'm so happy you did. So, you know, I guess we've been following each other on Instagram for maybe, what, like 8 months, 9 months?
Yeah, must be now.
Right? And I was watching, like, you know, I got to know you through your Instagram, and of course, we become friends, and you're such a good, I feel like you've got the light, you know?
Aww.
Like, you've got the light. And so... You're so good for the industry because I feel like it's, you know, it's the attitude that the industry needs more of.
Mm-hmm.
Is that...
Totally agree.
You know, that holistic kind of, you know, just you're very a salt of the earth kind of person. Right. Like, you know, very pure, kind, fashionable, all the things that people love.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, that's, like, one of the things that I always hated about the beauty and, like, fashion industry is that everyone's like, oh, it's so fake. It's so artificial. It's, like, nothing's real. Everyone's just, like, out for themselves. And I'm, like, that always bothered me because, I think that there's so many amazing individuals who also work in the industry, but it's, like, you can't just, like, paint the industry with, like, a few bad apples, you know, right. that are there. So I guess I just always thought it was really important to, like, you know, yeah, obviously, like, my Instagram and everything is, like, super curated, but it's, like, still, like, having those, like, kind of, like, more grounded conversations and open and vulnerable conversations as well at the same time. It's, like, not just, I guess, like, pretty pictures.
You know,
I'm trying to, like, try to, like, show another side of the fashion industry, I suppose.
Well, and, you know, and you're doing that, and I noticed I think it was a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe about 3 weeks ago.
Must be three now.
You came out and you started talking about your HIV status more. Yeah. And no, well, that's kind of exciting. I was really excited for you.
Thank you.
You know, because like fashion, you do it so beautifully, and like you also, you know, when you see these curated photos, well, you know, fashion is visual. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's beautiful things, and I love that you start to get really personal, because I think that's another thing we need in fashion, is people to get really personal about their lives and say, you know, this is my real life. This is what's really happening. Let's all let our bellies out here. Mm-hmm. You know?
Exactly.
So when were you diagnosed?
It was, yeah, like I think it'll be almost 3 years this fall. I actually need to ask my specialist again, because I like mix my sobriety date and like my diagnosis of the day I was diagnosed, like, date up all the time. So I'm like, have to see her soon. And I need to ask her, like, what it says in the records, because I actually forget, which is so bad.
Yeah, because you, like, you treat it like a birthday.
Totally. Like, no. I think it's February, but I'm like, I don't know. I, like, keep discussing with my close friends. I'm like, when did I tell you? And, like, yeah, we've been trying to figure it out.
So what was that feeling when you found out? Like, what, I like, you know, I want people to know, because, you know, what was that feeling for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was overwhelming. I was, like, literally in the middle of, like, teaching a class, and I got, like, a phone call, and, like, my class had kind of, like, the class with the students had, like, just ended, and so I, like, took the phone call, and it was, like, a doctor, and, like, I had gone to a walk-in clinic, and he was just like, hey, Miles, like, your test results came back, and you're HIV positive. And I was just like, I just felt like someone like punched me in the throat. Like, I didn't know what to do. I literally like grabbed my things and I like went, because I still had like maybe 3 or 4 hours left of my shift. And I grabbed my things and I just like said to the manager, I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, there's been an emergency and I need to leave. Mm-hmm. And I just like got in my car and I just like remember just started crying so hard. Like, I don't know. It's just like, I knew nothing about HIV. I really didn't, okay. You know? And it's like, I'd only really known it from the few like, maybe like queer films where it was like talked about, and so it's just like, you know, everything that I'd kind of seen prior was that like HIV is a death sentence. And so just I think being faced with the reality of like me thinking that I was gonna die was like super terrifying and scary. And you know, I was maybe like an hour and a half from my home, and I was like, how am I even gonna drive home? And yeah, it was a lot. It was like definitely like a whirlwind of emotions, like in that moment of just losing my immortality, I felt.
Mm. Yeah, especially, you know, I can only imagine, you know, not knowing, not being educated on what just happened. You mm-hmm. know, like, oh my God, what is this? Like, am I gonna die? And then did you learn right away? Did the doctors like filling you in on what this is and that it's actually not that big of a deal anymore, and you could take the meds, and it is a big deal, obviously, mentally initially. Yes. But, like, how did that feel for you? How'd you go about that?
Yeah, like, I had to wait about a month to see a specialist, which was really daunting. Like, I think because I just felt like I tried to look at the internet and, like, to get information. But I think kind of how I learn, I wasn't really able to find a lot of those, like, resources. Mm. You know, like, a lot of people sharing stories online about their, like, HIV status was, like, people who were diagnosed with AIDS. Mm. But, like, I didn't know. So, like, all I was watching was these videos of people talking about themselves, like, dying. And it was, like, you know, so that's just, like, what I thought that I had. So it was just, yeah, it was really hard, like, in that first little moment. And then, you know, I remember going to see my specialist, like, going to see, like, the specialist at St. Michael's. And it was, like, you know, my first appointment and, like, kind of, like, finding out about this medication then, there, like, a month later, and, like, being, like, you know, you're not going to die. And, like, this is not, like, something that people die from. And I was just, like, you know, so relieved, but also just, like, I had gone through this, like, month-long, like, the hardest, like, mental battle that I've ever had to face of, like, just feeling like I didn't live my life enough. And, like, I'm, like, I have so many regrets. Like, I was just, like, pouring myself into, like, my work and, like, not actually enjoying life. And so it just, like, made me reflect, I think, a lot in those moments. But and obviously, I think after, I've been really, like, trying to educate myself so much now on it and to, like, get myself to a point where I could be, like, super comfortable with publicly talking about it.
Hmm. Yeah. And what was it that sort of sparked you three weeks ago to get more open about it? What was it? Was there something, did you feel responsibility to remove stigma, or what was it?
I think there's a lot of pieces that kind of all came together. You know, I felt like for the last few years, kind of like a topic that I've been really like trying to focus on is vulnerability, you know, and I just feel that, you know, like I grew up with a family that like, you know, they talked a bit about emotions, but like not a ton. And like, I just feel like we live in a society where like people don't open up, you know, and like being vulnerable is like, you know, I think we were raised a lot of the time that like emotions are bad and like you don't tell people your feelings. And I just was really trying to like remove that old ways of like of what I've kind of like created mentally in my head. And, you know, I think even just like with my friendships and like my family that I just like, I needed to like let that go. I needed to be more vulnerable. And it was sort of something that I wanted. I've been trying to put into practice and like really reading a lot of books on it. I'm like obsessed with Brené Brown, if you've ever read any of her books.
Yeah.
And so I think like after I kind of gone on this like vulnerability journey of like trying to like create daily practices of being vulnerable with people, that I just felt that my HIV status was like a part of that, you know. It's just like me being open and honest about this is just like holding myself accountable to like being vulnerable, but also like I think it was just really important to like get rid of, I think, the shame and the stigma that I had within myself too. I think that was such a wall. Like for 2 years I just felt like I held myself back from anything in life because I was just so afraid that if I like even try to like be like an inch forward in my life, or I tried to chase something else in my life, that something else horrible was going to happen. And I was just like, I didn't want to feel any pain. And I think like by not publicly talking about my status, that it was just like I was caging myself in with this like secret that I felt like I had, and I needed to like give away its power. You know, I didn't want it to have any more power over me. And I just like, I needed to like let go of that shame and really just try to like fight, I think, this stigma, because the stigma very much exists, you know, like, okay, yes, HIV is not a death sentence anymore, but like myself in the beginning, I think that the general population still thinks that people die of HIV and, you know, they don't know about the new medications. And like, I think sometimes like as a queer person, we think that like everyone knows, but like, you know, I generally work with like mostly like heterosexual women, you know, and I think from posting the video, even now, just like so many of them reaching out and saying how much my video just educated them on like the updates of like modern medicine and like HIV, like that makes me so happy, you know. And so, yeah, so I really felt like that was, the video was like kind of the first step on like kind of this new journey of trying to like maybe create more awareness and education that to people that like myself that wasn't able to like really access it before or wasn't exposed to it.
Good, because it's exactly, you know, it's exactly what we need, is people to you know, to have that, to inform themselves and to have that kind of knowledge, because you know, the more knowledge that people have, the less isolated we feel.
Absolutely.
Right? And so like it you know, that's actually a reason why I started the show, is because when I had come back from Southeast Asia, when I was away for a year, I went out and, you know, had a drink with a friend, and there was a guy at the bar who was talking to me about how he would never date somebody with HIV. And I said, well, how come? Like, it seems stupid that you would actually not date somebody. It like seems really dumb. He's like, I was like, do you know, you know, it's undetectable, right? Like, you understand that you cannot catch, like, I said to him, I said, you have a better chance of a piano falling from the sky and hitting you on the head than you ever catching HIV with somebody. Literally. He's like, what do you mean? So I kind of just left the conversation. I thought to myself, there is so much work for us to do, you know, because, you know, and it's our responsibility, like people who don't have HIV, people who do have HIV, to educate each other on, you know, on modern information.
Totally.
You know, on what is really happening here. So I knew at that point, I was like, okay, there's so much here, so much work to do, you know, as far as gay men and their internalized phobia, mm-hmm. the transphobia, and just how we function as gay, queer males. And so that's how I started this. And so I just felt I had that responsibility, you know, and I'm so happy I did, because now I have you on the show and, you know, people get to talk about their own personal stories.
And I have to say that, like, you know, still to this day, I know very few people who have HIV, you know, and I don't have anyone in my, like, immediate friends group or, like, even just someone, like, I have one person that I can kind of have a little bit of conversation with about HIV with, but I still have, like, yet to kind of, like, find my community with people living with HIV. But I have to say that your podcast really, it was, I remember when we connected on social media and then I started listening to all of your podcasts, and it was just, like, felt like in a way, like, you became, like, this kind of, like, person that was, like, educating me a lot on HIV, because you were sharing so many people's stories, you know, that were living with HIV. And I just, it was, like, I wasn't out about it, and we hadn't even really talked about it. But it was, like, it made me feel so much less alone. So I really have to also thank you for that, because it really, like, I enjoyed hearing all these different people's stories so much. And it gave me, like, a bit of kind of someone to connect to. So...
Oh my God. Actually, that's, I'm going to cry, you know, because like, you know, that, oh my God. Yeah. I'm getting a little emotional, because when I hear that, it makes everything and every bit of work that I do, so worth it, you know, whether it's one person or 1,000 people, or whether it's, you know, whatever amount of people it gets, it sort of touches, you know, that's like most important. So thank you so much for saying that.
Of course. Thank you for giving me a part of my confidence to, like, get to where I am today. Your podcast definitely has helped me a lot. So
yeah, well, you're welcome. So in fashion, how is that? Like, when you, like, were people weirded out in fashion? Do you find that people in fashion are more educated than the average person about HIV, or did you find it was the opposite, or how did you find that?
I guess because of COVID, I haven't really been able to, like, attend anything or do anything, you know, with my community. Like, I think my community has gotten hit in one of the hardest. Like, I feel like everything's really just still on pause, because, mm-hmm. like, people can't really be creative right now, like, with big groups of people, you know, and no fashion week or anything like that. So... I think, though, that it's very interesting when I, like, look back at, like, the comments and who kind of, like, responded to the video. It was so much, like, of not my community, which was really interesting. And, yeah. it, when I looked at it, I think the percentages, it was, like, 60-something percent of it was women who responded to my video. And so I found that kind of interesting, you know, like, I feel like I really, like, I touched this whole other demographic of my following that, you know, I think maybe follows me because of how fashionable I am, but, like, was able to kind of, like, connect with them on this whole new vulnerable level. But I feel like the community itself, like, yes, there was definitely, like, some people from the fashion community that reached out and, like, commented or whatever, but I was very surprised, like, how... I think I just expected maybe, like, more people to kind of, like, reach out and from the fashion industry that didn't. So, yeah. And even just the gay community, I felt like it was very, there wasn't a lot of support there. It was like, it was the community that I was the most worried about that was the most supportive. So I thought that was interesting.
Huh.
Yeah.
Family.
Oh, I mean, so it's so funny. So you're going to laugh at this. So when I came out to my, I came out to my mom last summer. And I remember when I told her, she literally, her response was like, what's HIV? Like, she didn't know.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I, like, built this, like, up in my head that, like, it's going to be this, like, you know, movie scene moment. And she's like, what is it? And I was like, oh my God. I literally was like, I was like the epitome of, like, the facepalm emoji in that moment. I was like, you gotta be kidding me, right?
Yeah.
Like, you lived through the 80s. Like, how do you not know what it even is? And anyway, so that, but it was, like, very, it was very fine. Like, I had to kind of just, like, educate her on what it was. But, like, kind of because I was able to paint my own picture of, like, what HIV was, she was like, oh, okay, so you just, like, take a pill. And, like, that's no big deal. So, but, like, the funniest part, because I don't want to forget to tell you this. It's hilarious because my mom will, like, call me sometimes and she'll be like, hi, Miles, how's the AIDS? And I'm like,
oh, my God.
And I'm like, Mom, you can't say that. I was like, I have HIV. It's totally different. She's like, oh, right, I have to forget. Like, I need to write that down. And I'm like, my mother's
Your mom is hilarious.
She is so funny. She needs her own reality show. AIDS? Literally. I'm like, it's so bad. But honestly, I didn't really come out to any of my other family until, like, the day or hours before my video went live. I feel like I keep my family at a distance that's, like, safe for me, you mm-hmm. know? And I think I, like, left this small town and came to Toronto, and I've been here for 10 years, and it's, like, I just kind of created, I think, my own chosen family. And it's not to say that I don't, like, love and care about my family. I do. They're their own people, you know? But I think, like, what my needs are don't often get met, unfortunately. You know, I think sometimes by my family. And, like, you know, and they try in their own ways. But it's, you know, I think it's hard for them to understand my life, you know? So it was just sort of like, oh, okay, I need to tell them and I need to have this conversation. But it wasn't super important to me personally to really tell them prior, because I felt like the people that were closest to me were the ones that were going to be there to support me. And I think sometimes it's hard to support someone if you're, like, not in the same city. And in the way that I needed to be supported. And that was, like, definitely in person, so.
That makes sense. Yeah. And, you know, you come to the biggest city and, like, this, you know, I can totally relate to that part of just, like, choosing your family, mm-hmm. right? You come to the biggest city, you come from a smaller town, you know, you create your family here, because I don't have any family in Toronto.
Yeah.
So I mean, I imagine, I don't think you do either.
No.
So and I think that's the beauty of being alone in a city not knowing anybody, is you get to choose now.
Totally.
Who is going to accept you, because you don't no longer really have to, you know, explain it to people, those people closest to you mm-hmm. so much, you know. But you know, obviously, you know, you have to keep on educating.
Totally.
For every, like, I imagine you're always telling people, or, like, you know, in some, I'm gay, I have HIV. Like, there's always something, right?
And it's hard, like, now too, especially because I've been single for, you know, I think 2 years, let's say. And it's just like, I feel like every single time I go on a date, it's like becomes this, like, education opportunity, especially if it's just like a Grindr hookup or it's an actual date. It's just like, I feel like I'm constantly having to tell people about it, and it's fine now, and I've, like, made peace with that, but it was super hard in the beginning, you know, because it was almost something that I didn't want to address, and it was me having to, like, go through it, because the first thing that everyone asks is, like, oh, how did you get it? And it's, like, so, like, I'm like, okay, I'm, like, teaching you
it's not our business.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, it's just such a, like, you don't know me, and, like, you want to, I don't know, it's just weird. And, like, but then you also don't know about, like, what it means to be undetectable, but then you're, like, wanting to know how I got it. I don't know. So it's just, like, it's such a weird scenario, I feel, like, going through this. But it's, like, it literally is. It's just, like, a constant education opportunity for me. And it always, like, comes up to, like, when I talk about my sobriety, because especially if I'm at parties or events, people are like, why are you sober? And I have, like, such a hard time trying. I don't know. I guess I just haven't come up with another answer to that question, because I decided to be sober after I found out that I was HIV positive, and it was sort of like, it kind of brought that on. And so I just, like, now at parties, I just, like, kind of, like, have to be like, well, I'm sober because I'm HIV positive, and I feel that it's, like, important that I, like, live the, like, healthiest lifestyle that I can, and that I kind of got a second chance because of modern medicine. And then it's, like, interesting how much that has to, like, open up to this, like, giant group setting conversation of, like, me educating everyone about HIV. But no.
No, it's constant.
Totally.
You know, it's a constant thing. And the thing is, like, people don't know how to catch it. It's like, all you need to know is I'm undetectable. That's all you need to know.
Exactly.
Like, you don't even know how I got it. Like, I just know. Think it's so fucking rude.
It is rude.
You know? But, you know, good for you, because you're having to, you know, I'm sure even shut down conversations sometimes because people are so goddamn ignorant.
Totally.
So it's just like, okay, no, we're not going on a date. Okay, I don't want to talk to you, because you can just tell.
Yeah.
If so, how, you know, what somebody's mindset is like towards the issue. So, mm-hmm.
Because I remember when, I forget, I'm totally blanking on their name, but it was someone you actually interviewed. And, like, they were saying about, you know, as soon as they go on a first date with someone, they tell them about their HIV status. And I remember, like, remember listening to that that interview on your podcast and being like, are they crazy? Like, I can't even imagine. Like, I think I just had so much, like, my own stigma attached to it that I was so afraid. But it's, like, honestly, that was one of the best pieces of advice, because now it's, like, what I totally do. It's, like, as soon as I start chatting with someone, I'm like, oh, like, just so you know, if it ever gets to this, like, I'm undetectable. And because I can't even go on the emotional journey of, like, dealing with that even, like, 3 dates in. Because it's just, I feel if I start getting attached to someone, it's just, like, it's such a, like, blow to my heart when, if that becomes an issue, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, it's just, it's a relief for you to just say it the first time, you know. And, you know, thank goodness most of the time these days, it's not, people don't think it's a big deal, you know, in Toronto. Yeah. And because they are educated on it. So I'm really happy about that. I'm really happy, you know, that we're at, you know, we live in a time when, you know, undetectability has really changed the game.
100%.
For people to date and just be themselves and not worry about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's just so beautiful, you know. So I remember many years ago, I'll just give you a short story. Mm-hmm. 6 years ago, I was dating this guy, and maybe around 7 years ago. No, it's about 6 years ago. And he was so vulnerable telling me, you know, and that's when I started to learn.
How far in were you in this?
We were dating, it was a weekend.
Okay.
And he was so vulnerable, and he's such a cute, like, such a handsome man, and he was so vulnerable telling me, he's like, we'll go to my doctors. My doctor will explain to you that there's no risk and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, I said to him, don't worry about it. It's all good. He's like, what? He's like, it's all good. Like, wow. I know, man. I know what's up. So, like, I'm cool. I feel completely 100% safe. I'm good. And he's just like, it's sort of like just put his heart to rest.
Totally.
You know? And I was happy that I could do that for him. So, what is next for you? Like, what are you up to now? Like, you know, you've been living through this pandemic like the rest of us, and you've been having to do so much, like, you know, from home.
Totally.
So, like, what are you working on right now? What's next for you?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, releasing the video is really sort of the first step for me. I'm just feeling very passionate. You know, I ran a co-owned, like, fashion magazine for a while, and I just really loved the creative aspect of that. But I was like, how do I've been wanting to do something like that again, but, like, I think more focused on, like, helping people. And I think that that's really important for me. Like, education is huge, and I love being a public speaker. So I've been, like, reaching out to a lot of the different, like, HIV organizations in the city, and just, like, seeing how I can get involved. You know, now that I feel like I've been able to, like, publicly come out about my status, it's just, like, I want to make a bigger, a bigger difference and, like, reach a broader audience. So it's been really cool. I've been chatting a lot with Canfar right now on, like, kind of different areas of their organization of, like, where I can get involved and, like, kind of help support them. And so it's been really exciting. I've had a few meetings with them so far. So we're cooking up some fun stuff together that I'm, like, really looking forward to. And I think through that too, it's going to be really great to be able to, like, create more content just for my own platform, talking more about this in different areas of HIV that I didn't really get to discuss in my first video. So it's kind of been one of my main focuses right now has really been on this. So
good. I'm really happy to hear that you're doing more of that, because, like, I think as well as what we need, you know, in the fashion industry as well, is people to, you know, it's such an industry where, you know, people are a lot of the times creating this facade about who they are. And it's so refreshing to see people being so real and just being, because there are real people in fashion. Totally. There are people who are amazing. It's just like, you know, people have these bad experiences, like, and they sort of paint everybody with this brush. But you're doing the work, and that's exciting, because if you're doing the work, there's, you know, hopefully many others who are also trying to do the same work and relate to one another. And,
I think it'll just be cool to, like, share more of these types of stories. You know, I hope that this encourages others to like want to be vulnerable. And I hope that like, you know, I can bring more people onto my platform too and like have these types of conversations, you know, and because I think it's, you know, people love the fantasy of the fashion and the creativity behind it. But I think it's important to also talk about the stories behind the photographs. So,
Yeah. To talk about the stories, the behind the scenes of our lives and what we're really feeling, you know. Well, I think it's amazing. And you know what? I feel like we'll, you know, we can do more on this on the show as well to educate.
That'd be amazing.
People as well, so I'm really excited about that. Before we wrap this up,
okay,
I want you to tell everybody where they can reach you and where they can follow you, and because you know, obviously, there's Instagram at Miles Sexton.
Yes.
Okay. And where else?
I'm super. Yeah. I mean, I try to keep everything super consistent, so it's literally at Miles Sexton across every platform, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, my website. I really try to keep it all streamlined. So
MilesSexton.com.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, you guys, thank you so much for joining us here at Queer at Heart. And please stay tuned for the next episode. And please reach me at queeratheartpodcast@gmail.com for any questions, suggestions, and whatever else you guys want to hear on the show. So, Miles, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure, man. Really.
This has been amazing. Thank you for listening to my story.
Thank you for sharing it.